That is our relationship. That is total.
Maya. Maya means illusion. We have the tendency to fall into illusion. That is our tendency, to fall asleep, to fall into illusion. Constantly, we fall into illusion. One time, Giriraj Maharaj, he was walking along the beach in Juhu, in India, with Prabhupada in Mumbai, and he was speaking to Prabhupada, and he said, Prabhupada, he said, sometimes I fall into Maya. And Prabhupada stopped and put his cane into the sand. And he said, you are always in Maya. And just walked off. And all the devotees followed Prabhupada except for Giriraj Maharaj. He was stunned. And he said, sometimes I fall into Maya. Prabhupada said, you are always in Maya. And then he, Prabhupada walked off. He offered his obeisances. And then he ran quickly behind to catch up. So that is our position in relationship to Prakriti. We are controlled by Prakriti. The Bhagavad Gita says that everyone in the material world, except for Narayana Rishi, which means God himself and his pure devotee, are captured by Maya in the form of attraction to the opposite sex. As long as you are attracted to the opposite sex, you are in Maya or illusion. Because this is the way that Maya keeps us all bound in this material world. Everyone in the material world is caught by this attraction to the opposite sex. And this is the way Maya keeps everyone, all the conditioned souls covered, lifetime after lifetime. Very difficult to get out of this illusion. So that is when we study the Bhagavad Gita, then we understand our relationship to God, to God's material energy. That we are bound or we're caught by the material energy. Now what is the process to get out of the material energy? Dainikesha, Gunamai, Mama Maya, Dirajaya, Mamebhiye, Prabhajanti, Maya, Etam, Chirantite. It is very difficult. Dirajaya means it is very difficult to get out of Maya. It is said in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Chisanatana Goswami, he says there are two types of Maya Shakti, the covering potency and the throwing down potency. Covering potency means the potency that Maya has, which she keeps everyone in illusion, means the general populace, most people in the world. Most people don't even know they're in Maya. They're in Maya, but they don't even know they're in Maya. They think this is reality. They think that the Collingwood football team is the epitome of perfection in this material world. What's that? Yeah. This is called big time. Big time. Just like sometimes I stay at Chaitanya Prabhu's place when I come to Melbourne and I walk down in the morning to the temple. So I was walking to the temple a few months ago, last year, and I was walking past the shops about 6 o'clock in the morning to come to the temple. And two of the men were unpacking one of the vans to deliver something to one of the shops. And it was 6 o'clock in the morning, and like I'm chanting, because that's what we do. We get up in the morning and the first thing we do is put our consciousness on God, on Krishna. And they were talking about the football. 6 o'clock in the morning. What do you think of this guy? Who is this coach? Why would he select this player? It's obvious we've got this other player who's far better. I mean, this is their consciousness at 6 o'clock in the morning. Right? The whole consciousness is just evolving around the Collingwood football team. So then what do you take birth as in your next lifetime? You wonder why there's so many magpies in Melbourne. Think about it. Think about it. What do you become? All you think about is black and white. Then what do you become? Krishna says, okay, become black and white. You can still go to the game. And you see on the roof of the stadium, the MCG, when they play, all the magpies are still there. They still go to the game. They don't have to pay anything, so it's better. So, this is the material energy. This is called Maya, illusion. It's very difficult to get out of. But Krishna says, Mayam etam tarantite, that you can easily cross beyond it if you surrender to me. If you become my devotee, easily you can cross beyond this Maya. It requires bhakti. Just like speaking to one of the new boys who's coming along, Matthew. He's a nice boy who started coming to Krishna consciousness. So I was speaking to him, I had prasadam with him at Gaur Panim. And he said he had darshan with Dev and Rita Swami on Wednesday night after the program. And he said to Maharaj, he revealed his heart to Maharaj. And he said, I'm struggling with certain material attachments and desires. So Maharaj's advice to him, he said, don't try to fight Maya. He gave the example of being in a boxing match. He said, don't try to fight with Maya. Don't stand toe to toe and say, okay, let's fight. It's you and me. Let's go. It's like hopping in the ring with, you know, whoever the world heavyweight champion is right now. I don't know who it is, but, you know, previously Muhammad Ali or someone like that. You don't get in the ring with these guys and say, okay, let's go. Not unless you're incredibly stupid. You won't get in the ring. So you don't take Maya like that. You don't take the illusory energy like that. You don't stand and say, okay, come on, you and me. Right? I'm going to get back to Krishna. You're standing in my way, so I'm going to remove you right now. It won't work. She's far too powerful. She's much more powerful. Daivi Hyesha. Daivi means divine. She comes from God herself, himself. She is God's prakriti, energy. She's much more powerful than us. That's why we're in Maya right now. Right. So the Maharaj, he said, don't try to fight Maya straight on. But he said, fill your cup or your vessel. Take your cup. And if you have a cup, you can fill it with ink or you can fill it with milk. So he said, just keep pouring milk in. So all the ink just flows out. Because milk and ink, they won't stay together. One will stay or the other one will stay. If you pour ink in continuously into the cup, the milk will gradually just disappear. It will overflow and go out. So if you keep putting Maya into your consciousness, then that's all you'll have in the end. You'll just have Maya. But if you do the opposite thing, if you just keep putting Krishna into your consciousness, just keep putting the milk in, and eventually all the Maya will go. It'll disappear. And then you'll only have Krishna left. So this is our system of bhakti yoga. We don't try to take Maya on head to head, straight together. We don't try to fight with Maya, but we try to simply replace Maya with Krishna and put more and more and more Krishna into our consciousness until Maya is not there anymore. So as we study, we understand these things. Who am I? What is my relation to this material energy? And then the Bhagavad Gita teaches us there is another energy. I was watching, a few years ago, I was watching Prabhupada's DVDs. What are they called? Following in the Footsteps. You know, those DVDs at ITV, Yadavara Puru, whatever. Following in the Footsteps, I think they're called. So it's all the footage of Prabhupada. Yeah, following Srila Prabhupada. So it starts from 1965 to 1977. All the footage of Srila Prabhupada. Alright? It's amazing, you know, just to sit there. Because I had a car accident, I couldn't do anything. I was sitting on the couch for 6 weeks. Then basically I just watched them for hours and hours every day. I didn't even get to the end like that. I just, so many hours of Prabhupada. And in this particular series, the devotees who were actually present at these different pastimes of Prabhupada, they were giving their commentary. They were saying, oh, actually this was happening and that was happening. It's amazing to hear what was happening in the background while all this was happening. Just like the very first Ratha Yatra they did in, I think it was San Francisco or LA. Not the very first one. The very first one was on the flatbed truck, the little one. San Francisco. Yeah, but when they had the big one, the first big one, which was on the carts, they had three carts. And one of the carts didn't make it the whole Ratha Yatra, the whole festival. I think it was Subhadra's cart. The wheel fell off, like halfway down there. There's like an 8 kilometer path straight through San Francisco, and the devotees were attacked by the Black Panthers, the rebellious black men. They actually made a threat to Prabhupada's life, so Prabhupada wasn't even in the whole parade. The devotees drove him, and they kept driving around the block, and then they eventually got Prabhupada there to the Ratha Yatra, but they didn't want him to be there because he was threatened. And Brahmananda Prabhu was fighting with the Black Panthers, and they tried to attack the cart, and he's big. So he grabbed them and started, and they knew karate, so it was like a 4-on-5. So he didn't know all these things, but all these things were happening in the background. So there was different, so many different pastimes which were there. So one of them was when Prabhupada installed, I think it was Parashishwara in Paris. It was Londonishwara or Parashishwara, I think it was Parashishwara. And Prabhupada installed Radha Parashishwara. And then after the installation, like just like in this temple, he installed the deities and his Vyasasana was opposite. So after he installed the deities, he walked straight across the temple room and he sat down. And then Prabhupada, they put the microphone in front of Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, "There is another world. It is the spiritual world. It is called Goloka Vrindavan." So there is another world. That's what the Bhagavad Gita teaches us. There is an Apara Prakriti, which we're in now, the inferior energy, Maya, but there is another world. There is hope. There is something else. You don't have to be here forever. This is not the only choice. The other place is called the Para Prakriti, the superior energy. It is the place where Krishna is and where Prabhupada came from to bring us back to it. So the Bhagavatam, by studying the Bhagavatam, we understand, yes, there is another place. The other day on Tamal Krishnamurti's disappearance day, we read the Vyasa Puja offering, which is written by Sureshwara Prabhu in the Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja book a few years ago. And he was describing in 1972 when they had Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja at New Vrindavan. And then Prabhupada gave one of his lectures, one of the Bhagavad Dharma lectures. And then at the end of the lecture, he said, "Any questions?" like that. And there was one hippie man at the back, and he stood up and he was a little bit defiant. And then he said, he challenged Prabhupada, and he said, "If Krishna is absolute," I can't remember the way he said it, "but if Krishna is absolute and he's all powerful, why doesn't he deliver us from Maya?" Like that. If Krishna can, then why doesn't he deliver us? And Prabhupada, I can't remember exactly how it said, I can't remember exactly how Prabhupada answered, but Prabhupada said, "You are not sincere. You are not sincere. It is not Krishna's problem, it's our problem. We're in Maya because we want to be in Maya." We have to understand this point. No one's forcing us to be in Maya. No one's forcing us to be away from Krishna. We want to be away from Krishna. That's why we are away from Krishna. Krishna says, "Okay, it's better if you don't go, but if you are going to go, okay, then I'll give you this material world, right? You can go there, you can try to enjoy separately from me. But if at some point in time you decide you want to come back, then I'll give you facility to come back." And it is up to us if we want to come back. Right? If we desire to come back, we can come back, we can be with Krishna right now. Nothing is stopping us. It is only that our desire is like, just like at the Govardhan retreat last year, then Burajan Prabhu and Sachinandan Swami, they were, I think they were giving like a question and answer session. And then one of the devotees asked that question, you know, why is it that we're in the material world? If we're supposed to be with Krishna, then why are we in the material world? Why are we separate from Krishna? Why is it so difficult for us to go back? And then Burajan Prabhu, he said, the reason that we don't go back is because even though we're doing bhakti yoga and we're following the process and everything, but still, even though we've been practicing maybe for many, many years, right, but still there's a part of us that doesn't want to surrender to Krishna. Right? There's still a part of us which doesn't want to surrender. Externally we do everything. Even sincerely, internally we do everything. But still there's a part of us that doesn't want to surrender. The part of us that doesn't want to be Krishna's devotee. That's what Krishna discusses in the Gita. There is the divine and demoniac natures. And in Kali Yuga, they're in the same body. Sometimes you wake up in the morning very enthusiastic to attend Mangalati in the full morning program and to be a devotee. And other mornings you wake up and you wish you were somewhere else. And you wish I wish I was doing something else. I don't know if I want to be a devotee. Maybe it's not quite that extreme, maybe it is, but sometimes we think like that. There's definitely a rebellion. So there's a part of us that doesn't want to surrender to Krishna. So the whole point of studying the Bhagavatam is to understand our relationship with Krishna. To understand our relationship with Krishna, who we are, who Krishna is, who his superior energy is, who the inferior energy is, what is our relationship with all of this. And then there is kala and karma. Kala means time, and karma means activity, like this. So this is what we study within the Bhagavatam. Every time we open the Bhagavatam, this is what we're meant to do. We're meant to study our position, our relationship with Krishna's entire creation. So that our consciousness becomes purified. That's why Prabhupada emphasized, you must study his books. And then Prabhupada, he went further, and then he said, there are letters where Prabhupada said, start Shastri courses within ISKCON. Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava, Bhakti Vedanta, and Bhakti Sarvabhauma. Right? Design these courses and teach these courses. Why? Because it makes the devotees study Prabhupada's books. Otherwise, we tend to be lazy. I know in the Bhakti Vaibhava course that every year we have about 3 months off. And devotees tell me nearly every year, they say, in those 3 months, we don't read Prabhupada's books very much. Right, it's very common, we don't read Prabhupada's books quite often if there's not an impetus to make us read. And even when the course is running, just like in our course, in 2 weeks we're going to have the exam, right? Basically, if you don't have an examination, people don't read the books either. Everyone comes to the course, but they just rely on the facilitator, right? The guy at the front who reads the books, because he has to, right? Because he's going to look incredibly stupid if he doesn't read the books. So he has to read books, and everyone else just comes to listen to him and takes notes. Right? And then everyone gets really serious when the exam comes. So Prabhupada said examinations. He said before you take Brahman initiation, you must have a Bhakti Shastri degree. It means you have to pass an examination. Right? So Prabhupada wanted us to do this. Why? Because in Kali Yuga, what are the symptoms of Kali Yuga? We're very lazy. We're very lazy. Lazy to take up spiritual life. We're not enthusiastic to take up spiritual life. So Prabhupada has designed a system that we have to take up spiritual life seriously. So the whole purpose of studying the Bhagavatam is to see ourselves in relationship with the entire creation. So that we can understand where we fit in and what is our actual position. So as it says here, that we will be reduced by the force of time to become just a name in history. That's all we'll be. That's our contribution, basically. Nothing significant. Nothing terribly significant. In another sense, we're very significant. We can change the planet. Each one of us can make a small difference to this planet. One person made a huge difference to this planet. Srila Prabhupada made a huge difference to this planet. One person who was a pure devotee of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada has said that ISKCON will go down in history as having saved humanity in its darkest hour. The darkest hour has not come yet, but it is coming sometime in the next 9,500 years. It's coming. Sooner or later it is coming. We don't know when. Maybe it's 2012. Maybe it's 2000, I don't know. It's coming. We don't know. The darkest hour is coming, but somehow, Srila Prabhupada, he actually said, my books will be the law books for humanity for the next 10,000 years. Right? That's a bold statement. Normally people don't make those kind of statements. And especially even religious leaders or spiritual leaders don't generally make those kind of statements. Right? Only people like Jesus and Buddha and Muhammad make those kind of statements. I mean, these are big statements. You know, Jesus can say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He says that, you know, he made a statement like that. That's a powerful statement. You don't make statements like that. Unless you're someone extremely extraordinary. Prabhupada said these things. He knew his position. He knew who he was. Humbly, he knew who he was. Even when he went back to India the first time in 1970, Tamal Krishna Maharaj went back with him, and Prabhupada's godbrothers, some of them were criticizing him. He's done this and he's done that, and he changed this and he changed that. He's taken the name Prabhupada. Prabhupada actually, they came to see him and said, why are you taking the name Prabhupada? Prabhupada said, I have not taken the name. He showed them his letterhead. and said, Tridandi Goswami, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami. He said, I'm not using the title Prabhupada like that. He said, they call me Prabhupada. He said, I do not use the title. So they were criticizing him for different things. When he went back to India, they were saying, no, he did this and he did that. He made that change and he made like that. So then Tamal Krishnamurti and Prabhupada were in the car. I think they were going from Kolkata to Mayapur. And Prabhupada was telling Tamal Krishnamurti because, you know, he knew that his godbrothers were criticizing him and they would criticize him. So he said to him, he said, if they criticize me, he said, then say to them, how many books have you distributed? How many devotees have you made? And how many temples have you opened? And then we'll see who is the actual son of Bhakti Siddhanta. Because they were criticizing, because when he went to Mayapur, when you go to Mayapur, you drive past Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's samadhi. And Prabhupada, generally he would not stop. Normally you go past the Guru's samadhi, then he would stop and offer obeisances. But Prabhupada would drive past fairly regularly to go straight to Mayapur, he wouldn't actually stop. And they would criticize it. Why don't you stop like that? So Prabhupada said, how many books have you distributed? How many temples have you opened? And how many devotees have you made? And we'll see who's the real son. Right. So he was very, Prabhupada was very powerful sometimes. He'd say these things. Okay. So we study the Bhagavad Gita to understand our actual position in this material creation, that we are simply something insignificant. So the 12th canto of Bhagavad Gita is teaching us this. We're just insignificant. We're just a name. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Gopi Bhatu, Pada Kamaliyo, Dasa, Dasa, Anudasa. That means insignificant. Insignificant means you're not the servant of Krishna, you're the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. 100 times removed, or 1,000 times removed, which means we're not very significant. We're just little servants of Krishna. And if we remember we're little servants of Krishna, we'll attain perfection. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said the Siddha Pranali, because when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was on the planet 100 years ago, there was a movement of Babaji's who were very influential and very powerful, and even now they're quite influential and quite powerful. And they were saying that the actual system of becoming realized, becoming Krishna consciousness, is to follow the Siddha Pranali system, where the Guru reveals to you at the time of initiation your eternal relationship with Krishna, your Swarup, or your Siddhadeha. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he challenged this system, and he challenged this preaching. And actually he said that our Siddha Pranali means a mantra which gives you Siddha, or perfection. He said the mantra which gives us perfection in Gaudiya Vaishnavism is Trinada Pisa Nichena, Chirora Pisa Nichena, Amanina, Manadina, Kiritanya Asadahari. We are more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and not expecting any respect for ourselves. In such a state of mind, you can serve Krishna constantly. You can chant the holy name constantly. Right? So that is how we become perfect as devotees. Now, the four elements of that particular mantra, being humble, being tolerant, offering respect, and not expecting respect. Bhakti Vijayapurna Maharaj, he points out that the most important element is to always offer respect. That is actually how we become perfect in Krishna consciousness. To not expect respect for ourselves, but to always be willing to offer all respect to others. Which means always being in a service attitude to all living entities. To devotees, and also to non-devotees, and to all living entities in God's creation. And that's how we become fully Krishna conscious. That's how we understand our actual position. Our actual position is patita. Patita means fallen. That's our position. Right? At the moment, if we say that we're something else than patita, then we're being false. We're not being true to ourselves. Because at this point in time, we are fallen. We are away from God. We're not with Krishna right now. And we're not even close to being with Krishna right now. Most of the time, our consciousness is not even close to being with Krishna right now. So we are a long way from Krishna. So if you recognize your position, then you can get back to Krishna. I remember years ago my spiritual master said on a tape, in 1996 I was listening to it, and it actually changed my life at that point in time. He said, you can't get out of this material world until you realize you're in this material world. And that changed my life, that statement. You can't get out of this world until you realize you're in this world. In other words, until you identify what your material desires are and begin to work on them, you can't get out of the material world. It's false. Otherwise, you think you're liberated, but it's all illusion. You're not liberated. Prabhupada said, if they're Vaishnava, why are they falling down? Sometimes Prabhupada called us Vaishnavas, but actually we're Vaishnavabhas. Vaishnavabhas means we're the shadow of a devotee. We're not actually a devotee at this point in time. Real devotees are on the back wall here. They're the real devotees. If you look at all the pictures, they're the real devotees. Like that. They're the Vaishnavas. We're the Abhas. We're following them. We look like them. We put on the same tilak. We wear the same clothes. But we're not actually there. So we have to understand our actual position. And when we understand our actual position, then you can make advancement in Krishna consciousness. If you think you're fallen, then you have a chance. If you think you're exalted, then you are fallen. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there's any questions or comments on what we discussed.
Prabhupada was to say for taking women into ashram. Women in the, he was a military site in India. Why are you taking women?
Brahmacharini ashram.
Prabhupada also said that was my success. Prabhupada said that was my success.
Associating so closely with the women in our movement in ISKCON, and you know, we have much more emphasis on the women than they do in the other Gaudiya institutions. And Prabhupada said, but I have to give everyone the opportunity to become Krishna conscious. That's our Prabhupada. So that was the difference between Prabhupada and everyone else. He was self-realized, therefore he didn't make the distinction. He saw this is woman, this is man, this is an external designation, but they all have to be used in Krishna's service. And that's how we saw. Whereas others who weren't on that platform, then they were still unable to how to deal with the with the opposite sex or with duality. Any other question?
Yeah, I was saying how we're not liberated because there's a part of us that is rebellious. My question is, why are we rebellious, and how can we do that?
We're rebellious because Krishna is Swarat. Swarat means he has independence. And because we're created in God's image, then we also have minute independence. Right? Like, you know, I can pick up my watch, I can just go. That's independence. I can do what I want to a degree. Like that. So Krishna gives you that independence so that you can make a choice. So why did we choose to be rebellious against Krishna? Some envy or some desire to be the Purush of the master as opposed to the servant arose in the consciousness. So when that arose, then we left the kingdom of God, we left Krishna's association. Then how do we get back? By rectifying the position, by becoming the servant, like that. So even one of the devotees said to Prabhupada, said, Prabhupada, when I come before you, I don't feel like bowing down. What should I do? Prabhupada said, bow down anyway, and then the feeling will come. So that's sadhana. Sadhana means we may not feel like chanting our rounds, may not feel like worshipping the deity, may not feel like following all these rules and regulations. Prabhupada said, if I gave you all the rules and regulations, you would faint. Right? He's cut it back as far as you can get it. Like, you know, in Kali Yuga, he's taken it back as far as it goes. 16 rounds is the cut-off point. You know, he didn't drop it any further than that. He said that Mukunda Maharaj is 64, and Mukunda Maharaj just looked at Prabhupada. And then he said 32, and he just looked at Prabhupada, and then he said, okay, 16, and that was it. That's the cutoff. So he gave us the minimum that there is, and we have to follow the minimum. So you follow the sudden, and then you rectify your consciousness, and then you can go back to Krishna. And there's some descriptions in the Gaudiya teachings that at the moment we're not with Krishna, And this whole millions of lifetimes that we're away from Krishna, in the spiritual world, that's as much time as just turning our face away from Krishna. Krishna's having his pastime, we turn our face away. We're envious for millions of lifetimes, and then when we rectify ourselves, we look back and then keep going. That's it. Sometimes it's described like that. So. Does that answer your question? Anything else? What's that?
I said maybe it's my meditation, not
for me. Okay, you're just about. Yeah. I mean, that's basically that's the answer. It's minute independence, it just needs to use down independence, that's all. And when we go back to Krishna and we begin to serve him again, then that's what we're created for, to serve Krishna. We are Krishna's eternal service. If we do anything else, that's called Maya or illusion. So, any other question or comment?
Thanks for the nice class. Just on that point of regretness, I used to think that I was kind of cool because I was a hippie, my horse down. So I was a rebel. Whatever my father told me to do, I didn't ignore it. And then I thought, oh yeah, now I'm cool, I'm a Hare Krishna, I'm a rebel. I'm rebelling against everything else. But I discovered as a devotee that rebelliousness is still in my heart. And it's a great problem. I thought it was a good characteristic. But then I discovered that actually it was hindering my personal service as well. So it's something deeply ingrained in our psyche to be independent from Krishna and to be independent from the Guru and independent from the devotees. And it's actually very painful to realize that, I have this disease and I need to do something about it. Very painful.
That's the way it is.
That's the way it is. And I think it's cured, as you say, by being a servant. Not just a servant of a servant of everybody. That's why that Trinada fits in Chinatra. Prabhupada said that's the formula for success in Chinese Hare Krishna. And it's perfected in being a servant. And one thing that we have a kirtan program at Kirtan last week, and Sri Gaurav put on a tape of Satchinandan Swami speaking in Kirtan, and he was talking about chanting Hare Krishna and talking about how to get free from attachment. Because we're attached to doing it for ourselves, which is part of this rebelliousness, if you like. And he was making the point we actually have to chant Hare Krishna and do all of our service. We've got to stop thinking about ourselves, we've got to start thinking about Krishna. But we're poisoned. We've been contaminated by this desire to think about ourselves for so long. We think Krishna's not going to help us. We think Krishna's not going to look after us. So I realised that, on occasion I have realised that it is a problem to be a rebel. It's part of the disease.
It's interesting the way Prabhupada set up the movement. Was that there's a temple president, there's a GBC, there's an authority structure. And devotees came to Prabhupada and they said, Prabhupada, I can work with you, but I can't work with them. Because they're with the God brothers. It's hard when you're on the equal platform. Prabhupada said, love me, love my dog. So that's the system. And that's, I think, that's what I'm trying to realise as years go by, is you just got to fit into the system. I know sometimes you point out to me that I failed to fit into that system. That's part of the system. That is the system. And Prabhupada emphasized that. And those who knew Prabhupada, they also emphasized that system. Because I remember Tamal Krishnamurti was emphatic about, because I was listening to his lectures a lot last year, and he was emphatic about this. Right? This is Prabhupada's system. Mm-hmm. Right? Maybe you don't like me, that's your, you know, situation, or that's our situation. But this is Prabhupada's system. And if he's on the planet, he would say the same thing. He'd say, this is the system. You have to follow it. And Prabhupada said, the proof of how much you love me is how much you will cooperate after I am gone. So, it is difficult, but it's not unachievable. And that's our challenge. We just have to learn to fit in.
Just on we were doing the arti the other day for a talk on them, and I realised I've been doing the arti with Janice Mudra for 30 years or more, and it was so nice to just do the arti again with somebody that had a few differences with other guys. But just to, you know, to do it together was actually such a pleasant experience.
And sometimes you see, like devotees have these long-standing rifts or long-standing problems, and then if one of the devotees just takes the position of being a servant, they can just change it almost overnight. You know, Prabhupada said, if you fall down at someone's feet, he says this in one of his purports, if you fall at someone's feet, automatically they feel inclined towards you. Like that. So sometimes you just offer your obeisances to a devotee, and they're just like, oh, and then the whole relationship changes, even after years and years and years. Okay. Prabhupada said, I am Prabhupada, all of you are Prabhus. And you all sit at the feet of the Prabhupada, means all the Prabhus sit at the feet. So he said, you should see each other as Prabhu. Every person is Prabhu. This is a consciousness we have to develop eventually. Because Prabhupada said, in the spiritual world, there'll be another ISKCON. It's going to be exactly the same. Every one of us is going to be there. It's going to be exactly the same. You're going to think, oh God, they're not there, are they? But it's going to be exactly the same. It's going to be another instant. We're all going to look very different, but it's going to be the same devotees. So you have to learn to get on now, because you're not going to go back and, like, you know.
When Prabhupada came to London, the reporters asked him, are you George Harrison's spiritual master? And Prabhupada said, I'm not anybody's master, I'm everybody's servant.
And then in Paris, he was challenged. He gave a university lecture, and during the lecture, he was saying first class, second class, third class, fourth class, because he's describing Varnashra. So one of the hippies stood up at the end and he said, I suppose you are first class. And Prabhupada said, no. He said, I'm fifth class, I'm the servant of all the others. Prabhupada was. Yeah, every time he got challenged, he was just Melbourne Town Hall. He was in Melbourne Town Hall, and one person stood up and challenged Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was sitting there. You know, there's like 400 people there. Prabhupada said, I kick on your face. He said, I kick on your face. What will you do? You say you're God, I will kick on your face. What will you do? This is Prabhupada. And then in Kolkata or Delhi or Mumbai, he was giving a Pandal program. There's 30,000 people in the audience, and one, you know, sometimes Indian people, they stand up and they start giving a lecture, you know, in the middle of the whole thing. So one man stood up in front of everyone. He started, like, you know, yelling and shouting and saying like this and so like this. And Prabhupada listened for about a minute, and then he said, "Sit down." And the man just kept going. Prabhupada said, "Sit down, sit down." And the man just got indignant and left. Like that. And then about a couple of thousand, 30,000 people, a few thousand people got up and left. Because they thought, this is not Sati. Sati is supposed to be all shanti, shanti, like that. Prabhupada did not care. Like that. That was the way he was.
No compromise.
Yeah, no compromise. Any other question or comment?
Quick question. How do you recognize being fallen without being egotistical about it? And how do you say, oh, I'm fallen, or I'm very good at people, or I'm so humble, but not really being humble? Is that like one step towards realizing that you are really fallen, or being humble, or how do you get past
Yeah, there's a saying. There's a saying in English. I'm trying to work it out. I'll answer it, and then maybe we'll kind of get clarification. There's one saying in English that humility. Oh wait. Yeah, pride often borrows the cloak of humility. Right. So quite often we wrap ourselves like that, or like, you know, but inside, you know, there's something else going on. Someone says, "Oh, nice class," or "nice kirtan," or "nice feast," or "nice, you dressed the deity so nicely, you made the best garland," like that, and we're all like, like that, you know, we act like we're humble, but actually we relish this, like that. So if you at least recognize that within yourself, and you recognize that you have that, then that's a step towards going further. You at least have to recognize that we have pride with us. Or we have to recognize. Prabhupada actually points this out in the end of the third chapter in the first canto. He says you have to study yourself. He said when you are praised, or when you get some glorification, you have to see how this affects my consciousness. Right? How much, what sort of an effect, what happens in my consciousness when someone praises me? Because it's easy to say, you know, externally act like we're humble, but how does it actually affect our consciousness? Do we actually pass the creed on to the guru or not? Is that the answer what you're asking for?
Yeah, like, so it's not like, so easy for the progression of things, like,
it
can feel like
you're being honest. We're progressive when we understand that we have material desires and attachments. That's progression. You can't get out of the material world until you realize you're in the material world. Right? So to realize any of our defects or flaws, that's progression. That's good. It's not bad. It's good. Just like Satchinandana Swami, he emphasizes in these japa retreats, like we go to India and we do japa retreats and we chant 64 rounds, we do a whole week of just chanting, chanting, chanting. And then he says to the devotees in the very beginning, he said, don't be surprised, because you think, oh, now I'm in Vrindavan and I'm chanting 64 rounds, I'm going to see Krishna probably, you know, by Tuesday. And then Maharaj, he always emphasizes, he says, don't be surprised that, you know, he said, one devotee came to him, one brahmachari came to him, he said, Maharaj, I'm feeling more lusty here than I do in the West. You know, I'm sitting here chanting Hare Krishna, all this lust, and he said, Maharaj said, this is very good. Because all the material desires are coming up. Bhakti Sananda Saraswati Thakur says, when you start to cook, when you start to do the cooking of the milk, all the impurities rise to the surface. So he said, then you scrape them off and you throw them away. Like that. So when the anathas come up, when the material desires come up, it's actually positive. If you do something about it. That's not bad. You don't have to be fearful. I remember when I was a new devotee, sometimes I'd write letters to my spiritual master. And I used to be like totally in anxiety because I'd reveal things to him. Oh, Maharaj, I've got this desire, I've got that desire, I like this. And then he'd write back to me, and I thought, you know, my whole world was going to end. And like, he was going to write back and say, you know, I don't think you should be in this fun anymore. You know, I just would be totally. And then he'd write back, and he was just like, to him, it's just like, so, you know, it's just the way it is. We're all like that. What's the problem? You know, but do something about that. Move forward. Just like devotees used to come to, Prabhupada, and they say, Prabhupada, I'm just trying to think of it. Prabhupada, I am. I can't remember the exact word. But, like, you know, Prabhupada, I am stupid, or something like that. Or, what is it? Prabhupada, I am.
Fallen.
Not fallen, that's another one. This is, I can't remember. Like that. Like, incompetent, or something like that. I just can't remember the exact word. But Prabhupada said, yes. Oh no, that's right, yeah. Devotees come to Prabhupada and say, Prabhupada, I am a fool. And Prabhupada said, yes, but do not remain a fool. It's okay to realize we have faults, but then do something about it. Don't remain a fool. Like that. Don't remain fallen. Don't remain materialistic. Don't remain like that. At the end of the day, get off the mental platform. Like that. Does that answer your question?
Yeah.
Any other question? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.